Let's get to Tom Lewis of Indy Cornrows. He joins us here in the Zone on XL950. Tom, sorry we're a little late getting to you. A lot of people lining up to get their Rick Smits authentic throwback jersey for our NBA draft giveaway.
That sounds great, Derek. Hey, no problem. It's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you, too. Has a consensus arose among the minions over there at Indy Cornrows as far as a player that everybody seems to like for the blue and gold at number 13?
Oh, are you kidding? There's so many rumors flying around now. It's just getting fun. So, I think a lot of people are looking at trying to read some of the comments Larry Bird mentioned yesterday and looking at, you know, possibly Eric Maynor and there's a lot of threading over the name Tyler Hansbrough, and there's still thoughts of, you know, DeJuan Blair, but really I think Bird left a lot of smoke screens out last night and it's really up for grabs.
In collaboration with the Yahoo blog Ball Don't Lie mock draft, I saw that Indy Cornrows, you guys have a relationship over there, as do all the SB Nation blogs with Yahoo Sports. You picked DeJuan Blair with the 13th overall pick. What is it that you like about Blair? Do you think that he'd be a good fit for this team, Tom?
I think so. I'm not, I guess, 100% sold on him, but the way that draft fell, some of the top point guards were gone. Younger point guards, but it seems like if Blair, you know, rolling the dice with the knees is always scary, but at least he'd be able to give us some energy, get some rebounding, and you know, at 13 you're looking at trying to get a solid role player at worst, and I think he'd fill that role.
Tom Lewis writes the blog Indy Cornrows, joins us here in the Zone on XL950. Said that Blair in your synopsis would fit in somewhere in between Charles Barkley and Tractor Trailer. Obviously, that's a pretty wide spectrum because Barkley's Hall of Famer and Tractor Trailer was largely an NBA washout. Indy played it safe last year by picking Brandon Rush and Roy Hibbert. I think those were two guys that we pretty much knew what the Pacers were getting out of both of those players, both veteran college players. Do you think that it's worth the Pacers rolling the dice on this pick with somebody like Blair who has some knee issues, also is a little bit undersized, or maybe rolling the dice with, say, a Brandon Jennings, who we've also heard the Pacers linked with?
Yeah, it seems like Jennings would be a little bit more of a roll of the dice just because he's so young. But also, I mean, if you compare him to Blair, I'd say he has way more upside and potential. He really just seems pretty erratic right now. And also, attitude-wise, you know, he's young. It's hard to say how he would fit in the organization over the long haul. I'd say one thing, even if they got Jennings and obviously Travis Dean is coming back, you'd have a lot of point guards on the roster, but boy, I'd really like to have Jarrett Jack there to mentor them if they did go in that direction. So that'd be a lot of point guards on the roster, but I feel like the team is still building, and so they may have to make some tough choices in that area, but you know, a roll of the dice on Jennings wouldn't bother me that much, but it would definitely be a gamble.
You broke down the Larry Bird presser from yesterday, and he said in his comments that he likes taking a veteran college player, a guy that's played 3 or 4 years, rather than a guy that maybe was one and done or somebody that was unproven on the college level or, say, an unproven player from overseas. Do you think that Larry was trying to throw everybody off the scent or that he would more likely go with a guy like a Gerald Henderson rather than a guy like a Brandon Jennings?
Yeah, I kind of think, based on what he's done over the past couple of years, that he does prefer to have to bring in talent that's ready to contribute right away. And so someone like Gerald Henderson has, good skill and probably not as high a ceiling as maybe a Jennings might have or some other players, but you know he's going to be a solid guy on and off the court. And again, you're building and you know, let's say that you got Danny Granger as maybe a solid number one guy, but definitely a great number two guy, and you're still filling in roles. So, you know, any player they get right now has to be able to fill a long-term role, and Henderson could do that. Maybe not a top one, two, or three type of a guy, but he'd be a safe pick and be able to help out. And I think that's where Bird is right now. You know, in a couple of years, when some of the bigger contracts are off the roster, they're going to be left with only a few players that are currently on the roster. So you got to stockpile assets for the future, too.
I said on the show that if I was Larry Bird or David Morway, I'd take a point guard to groom for the future because TJ Ford's deal is up after this coming season. By all intents and purposes, the Pacers probably aren't going to bring him back. And Jarrett Jack is, I think, at least to me, ideally suited to be your backup number two or be a spot starter, maybe at the one or two, but not being a true point guard where there are a lot of true point guards in this draft, guys like Ty Lawson and Johnny Flynn, people like that that could be available at number 13. If you had to take a point guard in this draft, Tom, that would likely be around at number 13, who is the player that intrigues you the most?
That's a good question. I really like Johnny Flynn. Seems like his stock is much higher than I had ever anticipated, though. And for some reason, I just like the energy he brings, and he's great with the media. He seems like a solid kid who's always going to give good effort. But Lawson would be solid. I like Maynard too. He's got a little more size, I think. Mm-hmm. I do agree on Jack. I love having Jack on the roster. I think he's just a solid guy to have on the team. But as far as raw talent, you're right. He's got, on a good team, he's got to be a guy coming off the bench and contributing in different ways, not a guy you're relying on like last year where he had to play almost 40 minutes a game for long stretches of the season.
We're talking to Tom Lewis of the great Indy Cornrows blog here in the Zone on XL 950. Tom, everyone seems to have an opinion on Tyler Hansborough and how he'll be as a pro. I saw that people on your blog were discussing that in the comment threads. What's your take on Hansborough, and would you mind if the Pacers took him at number 13? I know some people are saying that they're just going to give up on the team if Hansborough gets taken at 13, while others have said, hey, we'd like to have a player like Tyler with the interior defense and interior offense get another banger down low, if you will.
Yeah, I think Hansborough's a little more athletic than people give him credit for, and he'd again be a solid role guy, nothing spectacular. I would much prefer if they were going to go that route to try and trade down, possibly and pick him up a little later. You know, that's easier said than done. But I guess it all depends on how the draft falls out. I mean, it seems like when you go through the draft from top down through 13. Look at the team's needs. Seems like somebody's going to slip down there. That, kind of like Jared Bayless did last year. Whether it be one of the young guards like Jennings or Drew Holiday, or somebody like that, where pushing Hansborough up into that slot might be a bit of a reach, and you're not getting the right value for that pick.
Tom, before we let you go, nobody's talking about the second-round pick, but I think that this is actually a really good draft as far as the second round goes, because what it might lack in elite talent, I think that in depth, it is not bad. I think this is a pretty deep draft, and especially targets that the Pacers could see with that 52nd overall pick, like John Brockman, the kid from Washington, Jeff Adrian, maybe of UConn if they last that long. There are a couple of athletic kids, I think, in the second round that could be had that maybe would affect the Pacers' first-round selection or vice versa.
Yeah, that's true, and that's one reason I wouldn't mind seeing the Pacers trade down, even if they didn't trade down the first round into the 20s and got another second-round pick. Like I say, we're trying to accrue some role-player type, solid guys, and there are, seems like, a good plateau of players that fit through the second round. Brockman, he's not going to be a guy that impacts greatly as far as his talent goes, but he's an unbelievable glue guy who's going to do certain things, rebound, and just hustle like crazy, a la Hansborough. And getting him that late in the draft would be really sweet. It seems like I have some Washington connections, so I keep tabs on him, and he hasn't been doing anything. Seems like he has a deal with somebody, and I'm always holding out hope maybe that's with the Pacers.
Check out Tom Lewis's work on the blog IndyCornrows.com. He joins us here in the Zone on XL 950. Right now, the breaking news on Indy Cornrows: Pacers potentially swapping their 13th overall pick to the Bulls for two first-rounders. So that's something to keep an eye on. Tom, we appreciate you joining the program, and we'll catch up soon.